probably have two announcements in tonight's worship service. First, we'll be celebrating the sacrament of communion by intinction. Pastor Zach and I will come down to the main floor to serve you. If you come in through the center aisles and tear off a piece of the bread and then dip it in the fruit of the vine, then return to your seats by the outside aisles, that would work best. We will serve the choir first so that they can present a piece of special music, contemplative music for us as we celebrate the sacrament of communion. If you need to be served in your seat, just let us know and we will come serve you. There are two worship opportunities tomorrow, one at noon and one at 6:30, and they are two different worship opportunities. Noon is going to be a traditional reading of scripture with interspersed by the singing of various hymns. And then tomorrow evening, it will be a tenebrae service in which candles will be lit and extinguished on the communion table as we go through the worship service. I invite you to join me as we begin worship with the responsive call to worship. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another." On this day, Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself into the hands of those who would slay him.
On this day, Christ had his disciples in the upper room.
On this day, Christ took a towel and washed the disciples' feet, giving us an example that we should do to others as he has done to us.
On this day,
let us join our voices in reading the prayer of the day. Holy God, source of all life, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment to love one another as he loved them. Write this commandment in our hearts. Give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all, who gave his life and died for us, yet is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you are able, please stand and join in singing our opening hymn.
You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And because we have him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith, let us confess our sins before God in a moment of silent prayer, and then together corporately in the corporate prayer of confession. Please join me in that moment of silent prayer. And together with one voice we pray, Eternal God, whose covenant with us is never broken, we confess that we fail to fulfill your will. Though you have bound yourself to us, we will not bind ourselves to you. In Jesus, you serve us freely, but we refuse your love and withhold ourselves from others. We do not love you fully or love one another as you commanded. In your mercy, forgive us and us. Lead us once again to your table and unite us to Christ, who is the bread of life and the vine from which we grow in grace. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Listen now to the word of the Lord as it is found in Scripture. Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and he was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. For by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Amen.
And will you please join me in a centering prayer? God, our God, we cry out, your beloved needs you now. Draw us into your presence, calm our fears and anxieties, and speak your word that we may hear your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. "Do as I say, not as I do," is a phrase that has been spoken around the world and by many generations. I remember the first time that I heard that phrase. I was in the car with my dad, and we were traveling to see some friends, and we had just passed a speed limit sign that read 35 miles per hour. Well, I looked over at the speedometer, and we were going 42 miles per hour. So I looked at my dad, and I said, "Hey, Dad, you're speeding." Well, I don't think my dad liked that very much, because he furrowed his brow, and he told me, "When you get your driver's license, you better not get a speeding ticket." So I told him again, "But Dad, you're speeding." And that's when he said to me, "Do as I say, not as I do." And maybe you can think of a time someone has said that to you. Maybe it was your mother. Maybe it was a babysitter. Maybe it was a teacher. Or maybe it was even a boss. Or maybe you've just heard stories about the phrase. Regardless, the list of instances in which it said our is exhaustive. Speeding, cutting corners, half-washed dishes, and angry gestures. This phrase is used over and over and over again. But no matter who said it or when they said it, the reason why they said it is always the same. The person who said it has done something which they ought not have done, and another person saw what they did. And now that person doesn't want you to do or to repeat their behavior. So they tell you not to do what they just did, rather to listen to their words, because their words are right and true. But the reality of their actions is clear, and we know that their behavior has betrayed their words. They do one thing and say another. And we all do one thing and say another. My office and my closet are a mess, but I'll tell you I'm organized. My wife just says I pile things up and call it organized. And maybe you've rolled through a stop sign, but say that you have a perfect driving record. I sometimes pass by those standing on a street corner asking for help without stopping and say that I am compassionate. Maybe you stop talking to your cantankerous neighbor, but say you still care. I proclaim to care about all of God's creation, and yet I leave on lights, wasting natural resources and energy. And maybe you've exclaimed profanities doing yard work, and yet say that you have a pure heart and clean lips. We have all done one thing and said another. Do as I say, not as I do, is a cover-up. It is the way by which we distract or try to distract people from improper, unethical, or unloving things that we have done. But everyone knows that those words are only a smokescreen and that they don't actually cover anything up. What we did is still exposed for the world to see. Our words never cover up our actions. In the Bible lesson for this evening, we hear Jesus say to the disciples, "Love one another just as I have loved you." Jesus told the disciples that he loved them in the 13th chapter of John. The love Jesus declared for his disciples is backed up by his actions, the very things that he did. Being both fully human and fully divine, Jesus could have resisted his arrest, and he could have prevented his death on the cross, but he did not. Instead, he bore the weight of our sins and delivered us from its bondage and from the dominion of death because he loves us. To be crucified for someone else takes superabundant love. It's a love that is so rich and so deep that self-sacrifice comes without question. Jesus placed the world before himself as he willingly was nailed to the cross. Jesus Christ put all of creation before himself when the spear was stabbed into his side. Jesus Christ put all of humanity before himself when he drew his last breath on the cross. That is true love. And I think that if Jesus heard the term, "Do as I say, not as I do," I think that he would amend that phrase to be, "Do as I say and do as I do." In the conclusion of our text this evening, Jesus has given the disciples a new commandment, and it came during the Last Supper. He told the disciples to love one another just as he has loved them. As Christ followers, we have been charged to love one another, to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Which means that we have to be willing to sacrifice our own desires, to put others first, to do as Jesus said and did. Do as I say and do as I do. But self-sacrifice is never easy, because our self-interest is often our highest priority. And we want to be the first person in line at the drinking fountain after recess. And we want to watch our TV shows immediately when they come onto TV. And we want to get bargain prices on clothing, even if that comes at the price of unfair wages and labor practices. And we want privilege, the privilege of choice, even if that means silencing another person's voice. We want. As Christ followers, our wants mustn't come before another person's well-being or any part of creation. Instead, we are to give of ourselves so that all of God's creation may flourish just as God intends it to. And so we sacrifice willingly, just as Jesus did for us. And that is our charge. Do as I do and do as I say. Jesus' actions were true to his words. He told the disciples, "I have loved you." In that love, Jesus was nailed to a cross and crucified. That is love. Jesus' love was visible to the disciples through his words and his actions. His love is also visible to us as well. We are witnesses to Jesus' love every time that we come to the Lord's table. At the Lord's table, we see Jesus' self-sacrifice, the one that he has made for us on the cross. And when we partake of the bread and the juice, we receive the visible signs of the grace and love that Christ has freely given to us. Do as I say, and do as I do, and do as I say. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Apostles' Creed is an ancient statement of faith, one that this church affirms. And so I invite you, if you are so able, to stand at this time, and together we will recite the Apostles' Creed. Please join me with one voice. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You all may be seated. Many of you know that a member of our congregation, Herb Ragsdale, completed this part of life early this morning. I was able to meet with Ann, his wife, and their two daughters, Jane and Sarah, earlier this afternoon. Tentatively, the funeral service will be here in the sanctuary next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but a week from this Saturday. Although details are still to be worked out. But we will remember Ann and Sarah and Jane in our thoughts and prayers this evening. Would you join me in a time of prayer? Our Lord God, we are very privileged to come before you in prayer, knowing that you know our needs before we ask, and that you want us to share with you our joys as well as our concerns. On this night that we call Maundy Thursday, as we celebrate the sacrament of communion, we ask that we might be knit together as a community of faith, ready to give ourselves away, to pick up our own cross, and to go wherever you call us. Lord God, we pray this evening for Ann Ragsdale and her daughters and their extended family. Continue to bless the Ragsdale with many, many happy memories. Help them to have the wisdom and the courage they need to make the decisions that need to be made in the next days. We are thankful for the opportunity to minister to them and to act as you would act, to do as you say, just as you have done. We are thankful that for her, pain and suffering and death have ended, that he's entered into your glory. We pray for the leaders of this world. It seems like the world is always in tension, but perhaps more so today. We pray for the President of the United States, the Governor of the State of Illinois, the Mayor of this community and all of our surrounding communities, as well as the global leaders. Let your presence be felt by them, and let your guiding hand be upon them, even when they are not aware that you are the one that is leading them. Keep us mindful of the fact that we live our lives under your providential care, that we are the sheep of your pasture, and that your love for us is eternal. In Jesus Christ, we very humbly pray. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women will come from north and south, east and west to sit at a table in God's kingdom. This is the Lord's table, and he invites those who trust in him to come and to enjoy the meal that he prepared for us. According to the Gospel of St. Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise. For in the beginning you brought order out of chaos. You brought light into the darkness. You called our ancestor Abraham to leave the comfort of his homeland and to take a journey where he would ultimately be the father of many nations. You called Moses to lead our people out of the chains of Egyptian Egyptian bondage. When their faith failed them and they were afraid to enter into that land of milk and honey, you walked with them through the wilderness years. And when Joshua led them into the promised land and they forgot your teachings, you sent the prophets. And when they ignored the prophets at the right time, you became one of us in Christ Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the child of Mary and Joseph. He taught and he healed. He revealed your love in a most profound way, a way that challenged the status quo so that they were threatened and decided to put him to death. He was betrayed by someone he trusted, denied by those he loved, and abandoned, except by the women. And then when his earthly life had come to a conclusion, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But on the glorious day of that first Easter, when the women went to the tomb, they found it was empty, for he had been resurrected. He is now with us here this evening as we celebrate this sacrament. In life, he was always the guest at other people's tables, but here he is the host. We come not because of who we are, but rather because of who He is. And for His great love for us, we pray as He first taught His disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
The same night our Lord Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and after having given thanks, He broke it. And gave it to His disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is My body given for you. After the same manner also, when they had supped, Jesus took the cup, saying, This cup is a new testament in My blood. This do in remembrance of Me. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. In a moment of reminder, we will serve the choir first, and then we will come down to the front. Please process through the center aisle, and then recess through the outer aisles to your seats. Come. will you please lift your hearts with me in the prayer of thanksgiving? Gracious God, your Son, Jesus Christ, left us his body, this holy meal of bread and juice, which we share with one another and with Christ. May we who have celebrated this sign of his great love show signs in our lives of the fruits of his redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Monday Thursday is derived from the Latin term, and after all my education, I still struggle with Latin, but it's Mando Nuvum, which means new commandment. And our charge this evening is that new commandment, to love one another just as Jesus has loved us. And as we move from this day to the next, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Amen.
Yeah.